shiny. Let's be bad guys.
Fruity OT bars make a man out of a mouse. Fruity OT bars make you bust out of your glass. Hear 'em all the time. Let 'em blow your mind.
Ah! 我很丢脸，我没有去 Fruity OT bar。
Fruity OT bars. Fruity OT bars.
You are listening to League Podcast, episode 413, The League versus Serenity. And I am a leaf on the wind. Matt Durst.
Shiny, let's be bad guys. I'm John Hunt.
Take me to the promised land. Clay Inferno here.
Very good. Thanks if you listen to our Godzilla podcast. Now we're moving on to another topic. That's how we do things. These days.
But
so we're going to talk about we have to say 2005 Serenity now, because apparently last year there was a movie called Serenity.
Yeah.
Nobody heard of it.
Yeah, I did. When I was looking up Serenity stuff, that came up.
Well, I don't know. But now, that's how movies work, I guess. You just call it whatever and just put the year behind it. So we're going to talk about Serenity, 2005.
It's like Avengers, speaking of Joss Whedon, it's like Avengers, but then there's like the Key and Peele, like, Avengers from the 60s, like the spy show. It was like Marvel, because it was Marvel's Avengers. Marvel's The Avengers.
That's right. They had to call it Marvel's The Avengers, indeed. But this one was the sort of almost sequel, I guess, companion piece, whatever, spinoff.
Brought back by fan demand, much like a Star Trek.
On some kind of Star Trek. Anyway, it's the companion piece to the series Firefly, which was a short-lived Fox series in 2003.
I think it premiered in 2002.
Well,
ended in 2003.
Ended in 2003 after not even airing all the episodes that they had filmed. And I think they had, 10 episodes air or something like that?
All of the DVDs have, on Hulu, has the 14 episodes, though. And it depends on whether they break up Serenity, which is actually the name of the pilot episode, which is a 2-hour long thing that's also called Serenity. They aired them. The big thing about this is that they aired them out of order because of Fox's kind of regulations. Like, they kind of listened to the studio too much, and that Joss Whedon didn't really have a lot of control over it. So they had to write the train job and put that out, much like Star Trek too. They had a pilot, and then they had to like do a new pilot, basically. So that's the deal. Lots of Fox fucking around with it.
Well, apparently, the ratings were not good. So I'm not saying like
they had an average of like 4 million viewers.
Yeah,
and they put them in like a Friday night.
It was different because they didn't have all the streaming and all the channels. I think 4 million viewers is probably fine these days, the way TV ratings work.
And they put them in like a weird spot where a lot of stuff was getting canceled, like a Friday night spot. Because like people that are into this kind of thing, like they're going out on Friday nights back in the day.
Well,
just pick what you wanted to watch, whatever.
Yeah, but I think the sales of the DVDs. And I think Joss Whedon kind of had it in mind that like, if the DVD does well, they'll let us do a movie. It was all kind of, it seemed like it was kind of part of the plan a little bit.
Well, his real plan was to have 7 seasons of this thing and to have it take off,
Right. Well, of course, that was always the plan. But I think once it was getting fucked with and went, especially when it got canceled.
They pretty much knew they were doomed when it started to air. And they were like, oh boy. And they didn't really market it that great. And then they did a lot of dicking around with the order of things. So people you're always talking about connecting with the characters. Like, why do you care about them?
Character.
Well, you would care about them if you saw the origin story in the 2-hour movie at the beginning. But they didn't get that till like the 4th or 5th airing.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I have to remember, I didn't watch any of the show. It's kind of funny. John Hunt himself saw that the movie was saw that the movie was playing in a special screening. It was like one of those, a theater near here in North Dakota. they do like a summer blockbusters thing, like after the summer. And this was one of the movies they showed. And John said, do you want to go see this? And I said, I've never seen the show. And he's like, it's okay. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, you're like,
figure it out.
John was like, take my hand, Thurston.
Yeah.
I'll take you to the promised land.
Well, you know, it was cool. It was neat actually, because like, you know, John didn't live in the city and I did, and it was convenient for me, and he had to come all the way in, and it was kind of like we had a good time. But I was like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah. And yeah. I would like to briefly address part of the reason we're even doing this is because this was like Goonies, something I just never saw. And like, I knew Josh was a big fan of it. And you know, I know that basically everybody, all of my friends have seen this and thought it was great. And I always saw the things with the cons, and I knew the actors and actresses in it. And I was like, I've never seen this. So Stacy had seen it, and she said she went to the theater to see it with her friends. But like, basically I'd never seen it. So I just finished watching Firefly all the way through, and kind of like, being a little bit like, oh, I have to take my medicine, I have to watch this. By the end, I was super into it. There was a couple episodes that was like, they didn't feel like filler, but they weren't as exciting to me. But there was like really like some good action in the series. And I did start to, I became a huge fan after this. I see why everybody says this. Like, I see why you have to watch this. It's a really good of a piece. Serenity and Firefly is a great sci-fi show, and it has a lot of things that I love about sci-fi.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's big in the fandom, I guess, as you could call it, in sort of the nerd community. There's always, in fact, they are called brown coats. I guess if you're a fan of Firefly and Serenity, you are a brown coat. I mean, the movie itself does a great job for someone like me who had never watched it. Literally, that 4 minute and 28 second shot, which is like the third scene of the movie.
The continuous shot.
Yeah, it's one long shot. It's about, but they pretty much tell you everything you need right there. And they introduce all the major characters.
Yeah,
one by one.
The teacher kind of is like teaching a class, right?
No, after that.
No, this is on the ship. On Serenity.
On the ship, right? But you're right, though. That talking, is another part.
Because that like, because if you've never seen anything, that you don't know anything. You don't know about, and you kind of think, I almost like forget that I wasn't watching like a Star Wars thing or a Star Trek thing when I was watching this. I was like, oh, this is like really a lot of the same stuff I like about other things. Hopping planets, you know, Mal is
basically
Han Solo.
That's really what it's about. I guess we, like Joss Whedon, the idea that the Alliance isn't really the Empire, as the way he described it in interviews and stuff. It's not like the Empire from Star Wars. It's kind of like just like this. They just want everyone to do, like, they want to govern everyone.
And they're a commerce thing, too. They're almost like Google or Amazon. You know what I mean? Like, they are like a corporation. You know? They're like a big evil corporation on top of all that other stuff.
Right. But, I mean, in their mind, they're not like, ha ha ha. We are going to control the universe. They're more just like, I don't know, a government of
we're
going to
control
the universe. No, they are, but I mean, they don't with like an iron fist, you know, they're just kind of like, everyone should just do the right thing. Like, do it our way. Please do it our way.
And it's, you know, the Alliance is, you know, like we know what the Federation is and, you know, the Federation of Planets, but this is the Anglo-Sino Alliance, which is, China and U.S. have merged because they're the world superpowers and they're the ones controlling everything.
Right. And that's why everybody sort of swears in Chinese all over
the
show.
That was cool. That was a nice little bit of color in there. And they could get away with some stuff just like, but it seems like pretty natural, like almost like, you know, in Star Trek, they have people like, here, learn Klingon. But in this, it's like, no, that like there's, it's just like when you're talking to somebody that's, speak Spanish and then they like swear at you in Spanish and stuff, you know, like it just fits right in. And I liked how he did that. That was like a cool storytelling device they used through the whole thing.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of, I mean, there are certain things that they did different than other sci-fi things. It's pretty cool.
No lasers. They had like real guns. Lasers exist, but you'd only have one of those if you're in the Alliance or you were like, or something. Had like a blaster pistol.
Yeah, it's like a sci-fi western, which is what he wanted to do. But it's also sort of based on Civil War type politics, and this is the story of the people who lost the war. Basically, this is Malcolm Reynolds, who was on the losing side of the war, and this is what he does with his life now after that. So it's very much like an American Civil War thing. If Joss Whedon had read a book about Civil War, that was the inspiration. But anyways, so like I said, if you haven't watched the show at all, he does a pretty good job. It's a lot of exposition, but you pretty much get it all out of the way in the first few minutes, and then you're off.
I watched the show before this, obviously, but if I had just watched Serenity, I feel like I would have been like, this is just a fun sci-fi movie. Like, I get everything that's going on.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's not. Joss
Whedon. I'm not even sure that I had finished watching the series when the movie came out. It was real close because I was watching it on Divots at the time.
You're in the mail, probably.
I may have not
right?
finished.
DVD in the mail.
Yes. Yeah. DVD in the mail.
Maybe. But I think the characters are rich enough and the story is, it's pretty good. When you get the idea that these are sort of the anti-heroes and all that stuff, but
and there's nine people on the ship or seven people on the ship. But he keeps saying like this is each one of those people looking out into the vastness of space and it's what they see. So, like, you get a chance to tell everybody's story.
Well, it is interesting, too, because there's Malcolm Reynolds, Zoe, who, like, he fought in the war with, Jane, who is, like, sort of, like, the big tough guy, but he's also kind of a jerk. But they're, like, the heavies. But, like, the rest of the crew, they don't really fight, Like, it's a funny dynamic. It's not like you have seven people who can just go and shoot everybody.
They have a Bones. They have a doctor, He's trying to take care of his sick sister, who's obviously a badass later on, but she doesn't really start off that way. But everybody has their role to play. So, Inara's kind of like, can be diplomatic. And then Kaylee's, she's the Scotty. She's going to make the ship run.
They do a good job with all that.
I would like to point out that Durson and I shared an elevator with Jewel State. Is that her name?
Right.
It is State. Somebody was talking to about, I was like, is it like a weird Irish thing where you're supposed to say Solange or something like but it just stayed. I heard somebody say
it's just Jewel State.
I shared an elevator with her once. And she's very, very lovely.
She is. Yes, lovely.
Lovely.
I won something by answering a question or asking a question at Boston Comic Con. I won something from Alan Tudyk, and it was like an old Comic Con pass from like, Garden State Con in 2008. He's like, here you go. You can have this. Like, it's probably just like, he probably just grabs a bunch of stuff out of his like suitcase that he takes to the convention with him. And it's like, we'll give these out of my panel. So that was funny.
All right. Alan Tudyk is probably the one, like the most successful actor from this movie. Gone on to
Nathan had his own TV show for 8 seasons.
And that's he has true. One now, too. He has a new show called The Rookie, which I haven't seen yet, but I learned that watching the Comic-Con at home.
I guess you're right.
It's only in its second season, I think. I mean, I can't vouch for the show at all, but I mean, he's good, man. Now I'm a fan of his. Like, it only took me, 18 years or something to get around the Firefly and stuff, but... shiny.
Yeah, and Marina Baccarin, who I never could pronounce her name either. I actually Googled it today. She, you know, she's been in a lot of stuff too. Obviously, Deadpool and
I know her from Gotham.
The remake of V.
That's right. She was on the V remake, Homeland, Gotham. She's been in a lot of stuff. So they've all done really well. But I mean, I don't know. She's a big character in Gotham.
Remember Adam Baldwin when he was in the movie My Bodyguard from like the late 70s?
Oh, wow.
Well, he's, I'm wearing my Kubrick shirt. He's in Full Metal Jacket.
Adam Baldwin is in
Full Metal Jacket? Well, that came out. I remember he was in like, wasn't he like in the TV remake of The Poseidon Adventure?
Oh my God. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't like I said this tongue in cheek, but like taking my medicine when I was watching the show, I did have my critiques of the show, and I'll just get them out of the way because we're really talking about the movie. But like, I was like, oh, this 2000 CG is like not that good. I mean, it's good, but it's not that good.
2002 TV. Crappy TV show.
Yeah, but I mean, I suffered through that gladly for stuff like Babylon 5, which is worse. And I was hate this guy's fucking goatee. I want to punch him in the face. And Stacy hated the song.
Like James.
Stacy hated the song, and I hated the Firefly logo that catches on fire and it looks like papyrus or something. I was like, God, I hate that.
So, I think they still use the papyrus font in the movie for Serenity. I thought it was the other way around for some reason. Serenity had papyrus and Firefly had a different one, but I could be wrong.
I do like the Serenity that Inara is, you know, ends up painting on the ship and stuff. I do like that way that looks. I like the look of the show overall. Just visually, it's a very cool show. But those are my gripes.
I'm sure they had some budgetary concerns, especially for a show that nobody was watching. And, you know, they made the movie for about $39 million, which is really cheap for a sci-fi movie. And you gotta figure.
Then it made about that back. Yeah.
It did not make a lot of money. I think it only
made 39 and made, it was made for 39 and it made 40.4.
Yeah. It was not a box office success. But I mean, there are movies that are made for a lot more than that that don't look as good.
Yeah, they don't even get. Yeah, right. This movie looks really great. Like, especially in comparison to the TV show. I was like, oh, thank God. Like, this is like happened in 2006, basically. And I did read that that the ship was built on two connected sound stages. And I don't know if that was the same case for the TV show. But
I thought on the TV show that it was a similar setup.
Maybe they just brought it back. And then I guess Joss Whedon had something to do with, he wrote something for Alien Resurrection, and they ended up building the Serenity set on the same place where they shot some of Alien Resurrection too, which is kind of cool.
Oh, me and Durston saw that crappy movie too.
Yeah.
With Winona Ryder in it, right?
Yeah. There are actually a lot of, we should point out some of the, not just the cast, there are a lot of the people who made the movie. Ben Edlin, the creator of The Tick, worked on this movie. Obviously, other than Joss Whedon, who was the creator, director, writer. I can't remember that woman's name now, and I can't even find it on the stupid IMDb. But Jen Efrenson or something like that. But she's written a lot of TV shows, a lot of TV shows that we would recognize, probably. She was just on Judge John Hodgman a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
So, there's some great people that have gone on to great things. So there's quite a legacy here in this movie. Just go to IMDb and look it up.
And not be able to find it.
Yeah, just like
and say it's something or other, or this or that.
Yeah, some famous people working at some point. Then they did stuff.
It's just the show, too. Maybe not even the movie so much, but also the show. But
I would like to say something about the release real quick, because the movie came out in September in theaters, and it was released on home video in early December, because I was at the time working in retail, and I was like, wow, that is a really fast turnaround.
That didn't used to happen.
Just a couple months.
That didn't used to happen that quick.
No. Yeah, but like that's now. It's like a movie is out on home video or digital, whatever. Now, like within 60 days of it being in the theater, or whatever. But or I also just, remember being in bed and like right around Christmas, and there was someone talking to just a random person at in the DVD section, and they were just going on and on about Firefly and Serenity because they were buying a bunch of copies of it. And they were going to give them all to their friends that didn't watch it. And I was like, I'd hate to have a friend like that forcing their crap on me.
I kind of see why, though. It's so...
I get it, so, but look, like, let it happen organically. Don't... Because if you were like, here, do this, I would have been like, no.
Well, I mean, yeah. I really trust you on what you like. And if you would give me the DVD, that would be different. But like, do you want to go and see this movie?
Go see a movie. That's different. Yes. But if I'm like, here you go. Enjoy this Marky Mark Planet of the Apes movie. It's great. I love it. You're gonna love it. Here, take it.
Oh, get the hell out of here. No, but that's the thing I want. Yeah, we should touch upon it. The fandom for this is really devout. Like, they literally did bring this. They were protesting the show being canceled before it was even canceled.
Yeah, because everybody knew it was going to be. It was kind of like in a really death spot there on the Friday nights, and they knew it was fucked. They just had a bad feeling.
Well, what they were trying to do, Fox executives were trying to find the next X-Files, because that also aired on Fridays, and that was one of the few Friday successes they had. Yeah. Personally, I had watched the Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. with Bruce Campbell, which aired before.
Yeah, that was the lead. X-Files was on after that. And they just thought, well, we'll put this show, maybe people will watch it. We'll just throw this on here. And X-Files became more popular, and Bruce Campbell, they didn't last too long.
Because the Fox executive was like, if Bruce Campbell doesn't become a major TV star with this show, I'll eat my hat. And I guess that guy enjoyed eating a hat.
Yeah, enjoy your hat. Yeah. But but they were trying to find that audience again and find that, like, but like you said, it has to happen organically. And but it did. And this is one of those things where the fans did bring it, sort of like Star Trek. The fans did, because they went out and bought all the DVDs and everything like that, they did make it, because Universal ended up buying the film rights from Fox and said, we can do this. And there
that's
you go.
Also
and
it was unusual. A lot of the ideas. It didn't stay within the same studio. I mean, that's neat.
Good well, for, you know,
Joss Whedon sure isn't an upstart these days, but you know, like still back then, I mean, he hadn't directed a movie.
No, but he was shopping it around. I think, you know, that's what you shop it around to the other to different studios. It's a pretty small town, that Hollywood.
Used to work at Universal.
Yeah, used to deliver stuff to that lady, the Columbia lady.
That's right, the lady with the torch. Yeah, it was. According to Joss Whedon, there was an idea that like Universal would back it if the DVD sales were good, and that's exactly what happened. He had already sort of pitched it, because this a lot of this was supposed to be the second season of the show. A lot of the ideas in the movie,
right? And he kind of had to wrap everything up. I mean, he could have waited to season 3 or 4 to get to where they went in Serenity, because they did have the main villain in the movie isn't the same guy, but he was like kind of a follow-up to something that happens in the show where they sent the other assassin guy onto the ship.
Oh yeah, the that guy is actually pretty funny.
That guy was badass. Really,
I'm a bounty hunter. I love that line. So you're just a bounty hunter? No, that's not it at all. I'm a bounty hunter. Yeah, I mean, he's a more serious version of that guy, I guess. But, like, I don't know. I wonder, like, if the show hadn't gotten canceled, would it have been as popular? You know, and I think it's popular because it was canceled, because it was the underdog kind of thing. And if they had made 6 seasons or whatever, would we even be talking about it now? It would just be another show.
After seeing it and hearing all the hype, and after seeing it, I do kind of, like, I do kind of like to have that relationship with the band or things like that, where it's like, oh, I like kind of like the underdog, you know? This is totally the underdog show.
And I think that it kind of even relates to the what the story in the story, you know, like,
yeah, everyone's kind of got a bad look.
Who are the underdogs kind of going thing, against the big corporation guys, you know what I mean? And it is kind of neat. I think that's what people are attracted to, but I don't know. That's just my theory. I don't know if it would have been as popular. Like, maybe it would have been like Nathan Fillion's other shows, which we never watched, but they were on for all those years. It is pretty interesting, and I think, too. So they did a funny thing with the marketing where they released it months ahead of time, and it wasn't even quite finished. It was like 90% finished, but there were still some visual effect shots that were being done. But they released it in cities that people that had high ratings for Firefly. They did it little by little. They did it in like 10 cities, and then they did it in 20 cities, and they did it in 35 cities. And at every one of these cities, it was selling out because people were getting, word of mouth was getting around.
Yeah, like those limited theater releases, those are cool to go to too. Those are fun.
Yeah. Apparently they weren't even telling people that it was Serenity. They were just kind of just like, oh, there's a movie you might want to watch or whatever. And they were kind of, I don't know how they were marketing it, but they were trying to keep it down.
Like Emo Phillips with marketing it right there in your book with the voice. You just didn't know. There's a movie you might want to see.
But yeah, it's kind of funny that it sold out all those screenings, but then when it actually came out, it did not do well at all. But
You know what? I remember seeing the trailer for it in the summertime before it was released and not knowing it was tied to the show because I had not watched the show at that point. And I think that was a detriment to it. And the trailer I remember not being very good.
Well, it's funny that like he called it this because he wanted people to know it wasn't actually the show. But I mean, it is. I don't know. I don't really understand that. I guess in a way, it's kind of a cool thing. He wanted it to stand on its own, but it's definitely.
And I wonder how much Universal probably made that decision more than Joss Whedon. You know what I mean? Like that.
No,
the marketing.
I don't think so. I would think they would want to have it called Firefly.
Yeah. Marketing.
Yeah, they probably crazy. Call it Firefly Serenity.
Yeah, I mean they can't even.
Like I was insisting at the top of the show. Oh. It sounded like me.
Marketing. That's right. Yeah, Clay, you should work for Universal.
Yeah, I used to.
Right. Yeah, I used to work for Universal. Right when you had that beagle.
Hey, yeah.
Well, I think. I mean, you can't even make Solo and not call it a Star Wars story. You know what I mean? It's almost like, and that's Star Wars. This is like
this didn't have a colon. This wasn't Serenity colon, a Firefly story.
Well, maybe it should have been.
I think it should have. That's what I say. That's what me and the marketing team came up with.
I mean, who knows? It doesn't, it won't, it wouldn't have mattered, but they also did another cool thing. Joss Whedon released these sort of short videos called Session 416. Did anyone read anything about this?
No.
Like Joss Whedon released these through just different websites and message boards and stuff. Just sort of, they starred River. They were called the RTAM sessions. In fact, not River, but RTAM. And it just was like sort of viral marketing, which is kind of cool in a way.
2006. That's.
2005,
MySpace, I guess. You know, it's like not really social media time. It's not. It's before Twitter.
Right.
Yeah, the good old days.
I know. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of. They're on the collector's edition DVD if you have that or whatever. But,
which I don't because I had to. I just signed up for Star.
I had it at one point. I was out of work. I was like, I gotta. Something here, so but anyway, yeah, I mean, it's kind of neat if they're sort of River Tam's counseling sessions, and Summer Glau was in them, and everything, so it's pretty cool. Different marketing on this movie, they didn't just put out a bunch of posters and trailers.
Think it's maybe a little bit too long after the show for them to put it out? I don't know. Firefly ended in 2003.
It's only 2 years after the show ended, so.
Yeah, I don't think it was too long.
I mean, if it was now, they're always putting movies, like that Ghostbusters movie was supposed to come out this year, and that's like 30 years after the last real Ghostbusters movie,
Right.
Not the reboot Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I don't think it was too long. I think it just, the show wasn't popular enough as it was.
Yeah, I think it has a very solid fan base. It's just not the world's hugest fan base, and it didn't cross over to.
Yeah, that's too bad that it didn't cross over.
Well, you know, it's all right. I mean, this. I honestly don't think we should talk about it like it's this tragic thing that there wasn't more or it didn't do better.
I think it's the perfect amount of something. It's just like I don't really want there to be a second season of HBO's Watchmen. It was the perfect amount of it. Like it was.
This is what I've learned in recent years. Maybe it's better you don't go back home sometimes. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Well. We're talking about the X-Files. They rebooted that on Netflix, and it stunk.
I never watched that.
It stunk. It was not good. I was just going to say,
in this instance, I think you include Firefly and Serenity as just a piece, and not, like, them going back home to this one.
No. I'm saying, now, here... years later, 15 years after the movie came out, and to do a revival now,
I just don't think it's
a good idea. Read the Dark Horse comics instead if you really want to get a fix.
Which I want to do. Patton Oswalt wrote a couple of those, and I love his shit. So hey, Firefly and Patton, like that's a good combination for me. I'm sure if I bought the hard copy, safety room too. It's just this. It's a great story and. Yeah, it's one thing. Like, I think we learned this from Star Wars, that I'll even say whatever positive things I said about any of the most recent trilogy things. Overall, I don't think they needed to do it. You know, like,
no.
the more space I get from Rise of Skywalker, but also from just
Chewbacca, whatever he called it.
even Force Awakens, which I have a lot of fondness for. But even that, you know, I don't know why they had to do all that, you know?
Yeah, we didn't really need it. I mean, clearly they were just trying to make some money off this property that they spent all this money.
There was no story there. They didn't have they had to come up, like, everything had been resolved in Return of the Jedi, and then you had to come up with, well, things really are pretty much the same after. It was Han and Leia, who you were rooting for all the whole time to get together, and now they're divorced, and really, the Empire didn't go anywhere. It comes back as the whatever, and...
First Order.
Yeah.
instead of Trade Federations, it's like Kramer versus Kramer. It's like a divorce settlement.
Yeah, I think this is the right amount of Firefly, and if you brought it back, it would be disappointing, you know? But the very fact that they got a movie was really a victory in itself. It's a good movie. Let's just say that we haven't really even talked about the movie that much.
No, but there are two quotes that I make from it often, and then one of them is that shiny. Three quotes. Let's be bad guys. That everybody into the vault, and it'd be nice if we had some grenades right about now. So
that is a good.
No one knows what I'm talking about, but it's always like when someone forgets something. I usually say it to my wife, and I like if she forgets something, and then I'm like, dude,
grenades.
I even aped it in Robin Hood when the Robin Hood number zero, he says, no, we're not going to bring guns. We don't need guns. And then like they run afoul of the police. And the guy's like, sure, it'd be nice if we had some guns. So I borrowed from Joss on that one. But structurally, I don't love Joss Whedon. He makes some odd choices sometimes.
We were talking about this off mic, off air one night, where I said Joss Whedon is not a plot guy. He writes strong characters. I always felt like a little underwhelmed at the story of this movie, but the characters are so strong that you overlook the weaknesses in the storytelling.
And structurally, it's really well done. Like if you examine movie making and movie writing and all that, like it's really pretty well done as far as the drama and setting up. Like the whole idea of Wash dying was to set up the stakes that these guys aren't going to make it, and apparently it worked because those fans in those screenings were weeping uncontrollably. Some of them,
because one of the other main characters had died as well. There, with Shepard
book kid died as well. Yeah. So you're setting this all up to think, oh my God, they may not make it, because they kind of know, like, there's not going to be any more sequels or anything. Season probably two. And you're lucky to get this. So what if he just wiped them all out? Like, it would just be, you know. And then so when Simon gets shot near the end, like, oh, it's like, oh my God, here it comes. This is like Saving Private Ryan, where like they're all gonna get wiped out at the end. And I mean, it, you know, it didn't happen, but it was to set up the stakes. I mean, Joss Whedon does know writing. He does, like, but you're right, the plot. The thing, Mr. Universe bothered. That's the dumb. I find that kind of dumb. They couldn't find a better way. What a dumb character.
That's how the fembot.
That's what I felt about. Yeah. That's what I felt about the Avengers movie that he wrote. And even he said that. Yeah, them taking out the control thing, and then all the Chitauri or whatever, all just go oof, and they, you know,
right.
It was weak. It's a weak. And I sort of felt like, oh, that's the big reveal of the movie. It's the Reavers.
But it's kind of cool. It is kind of like the whole thing. But the idea is just that, like, the setup is that, oh, okay, like, they created the Alliance created the Reavers. And, like, this is Mal's way of getting back, like, you know, this is his sort of redemption almost, when he says someone has to speak for these people. Like, that's his, because he's kind of a dick throughout a lot of the movie.
He's in a bad place mentally, because his family was breaking up there. Inara's gone. Book is gone.
Yeah.
And Book dies. And then, you know, so he was in a place where, you know, Inara was sort of a calming influence on him in a way.
They fought,
but she was like, that's his true love. They never really come out and say it, but that was the.
There was that uncomfortable whorehouse episode where, like, he banged, like, her friend. And then she saw it run into him. She's like, it's fine. Everyone should have a release. It's okay. But she really goes into her room and starts crying.
That's the episode she left. That was the episode she said, oh, I'm leaving. So that was, and then there was a great scene, I think, in this movie between them after he picks her up, you know, and she's back in the ship. And he's like, you know, you want to tear me down, do it inside your own mind. And she's like, I don't want to tear you down. He's like, yeah, but you know, you spin me about.
I'm all twisted up over here.
Things up or what?
Yeah, she's like,
I wish like hell you was elsewhere. And she says, I was, you know, I don't know. I think that's a great scene. It's more intense than some of the fights they had in the show. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, he really is very angry at this point. I shouldn't say he was a dick, but he was very angry. You're right. He was in a bad place.
You want them to get some loving.
It's kind of good that they never did. I mean, on the show, well, in the movie, we don't know, but she did decide to stay at the end, so that was nice.
That would have been a whole season three arc, you know what I mean? Would be them hooking up. Like, I could see this. The thing that's great about it is that I could see this expanded into the comics, or like, I could see that he did have a 7-season plan for this, and this is all we get, and that's fine. I'm totally cool with that, but I could see how he did, like, see different things with everybody, because everybody's so strong, and, you know, the relationships are really important.
It is kind of funny. They kept sort of hinting that Shepherd Book wasn't really a shepherd.
Yeah.
Had this past, that he had other things going on, and they obviously never got to reveal it.
Yeah, like, and he could have been.
Ron Glass is also, he passed away a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, recently, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were maybe even saying that he, like, had something to do with the Alliance, and, like, turned his back on the Alliance and, like, kind of hid as a shepherd, you know, the whole story.
Yeah, like, they never said, you know, they never said what it was. But
because even in the movie, when Mal's like, you know, he gives him some intel, and he's like, I'm never going to tell you how I know that, you know? Like, so
he's like, you'll have to tell me that story sometime. He said, no, I don't.
No, I don't. They're having their cigar over the you know, fucking campfire. It's like kind of tense between the two of them. They're having like a good conversation, but it wasn't all that nice. You know what I mean? It was like tense.
The Firefly comic is Boom Studios, by the way.
Oh, is it? Sorry.
I think it may. I don't know that there's Dark Horse ones, but I don't know if Boom still has the license. I think somebody else put that up now.
Yeah, they have a series going now, but it's all kind of like, you know, it's not like after the, I guess they did do one after, most of it is like between the movie and the show and stuff like that. And they're kind of just filling in the gap. But, yeah, I mean, it's good stuff. Joss Whedon, I think his brother actually wrote some of them at one point. I don't know, maybe not, but yeah, I mean, I think though, you know, and I want it to just be over in a way. I'm glad I'm just going to be like, all right, that's enough. I don't need any more Firefly. But fans are still clamoring for more. It's so strange.
Man, no, but see, that's again, be careful what you wish for, because nothing is ever as good when it comes back.
Yeah, it's like getting a large sub from North Except Dakota galley, and you eat half of it for lunch, then you eat half of it later, and then you couldn't eat another half. You're ridiculous. You just it's the whole sub.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. You can't eat a sub.
Like eating the whole thing for lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
part of the thing with artists is they're always evolving and changing, and people should also be evolving and changing. And who you were when you produced that work is not who you are now when you're trying to go back and recreate that. And I think that's why things are disappointing, because you want it to be the way it was 18 years ago, you know, and it can't be like the storyteller, the creator is not the same person that they were then. And if they were, they haven't grown as a person. So they've got different things to say, and you may not relate to those things anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, we live in a time where like half of the media is just a rebooted something or a cameo appearance in 21 Jump Street, you know, like everything, half of what they put out in front of us now is like some revisit, a reboot, a new cast, of this or that, and that's fine, because I probably like half of that stuff, but like that's still like a large percentage of the stuff that everybody's feeding us. Let's just leave this one alone. Give it some respect.
Yeah, I agree, and it is true. I mean, Joss Whedon, I think, like I said, I don't love all of his stuff, but I mean, he seems to have evolved a little bit. It's not as many shots of women's feet. He seemed to have some kind of weird foot fetish.
That was the thing with the river or whatever he said that her feet were like the 10th crew member or whatever. So,
yeah,
she was the dancers.
I know she was a dancer,
and she kicked ass in the action scenes in this movie.
Good
job casting that.
We haven't even talked about really the main bad guy of the movie.
Nobody wants to say his name.
Yeah.
I'll say it. I think it's Chiwetel Ejiofor, something like that. But I'm pretty close. I'm going to go with that.
Baron Mordo, right?
Talk about people who went on to great things after this. Yeah. He won an Oscar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for him. And he also was Mordo in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, and I remember he was in the movie adaptation of Kinky Boots. He plays like a transvestite or something that opens like a shoot shop or something. I'm not even sure what it was about. Now I've got to look it up.
Kinky Boots.
He's been in a lot of things since this.
Yeah.
So he's had a pretty... I mean, when I saw it, I'm like, you're the guy that was married to Keira Knightley in Love Actually, that, you know, your friend wants to bang your wife. But he's done a lot of things, including 12 Years a Slave, which, was his big...
I guess you could know him for that. All right. This is too much work. I'm not going to look it up.
But he was also in The Martian with Matt Damon. And he did Scar in the latest Lion King live action, which was not that good. But at least he was good in it. I'm not seeing Kinky Boots on his IMDb.
Maybe I'm wrong then. Now I've got to find it.
I mean, I'm not saying
I've got the wrong thing.
Anyways,
there's a Broadway show apparently.
Oh, okay. So it's not going to show up in this.
Yeah. IMDb. Yes, it is. She would. I can't say it, but yes, there is a classic trailer. If you just go onto Google.
All right.
And it came out.
Oh, I do see it. Here it is. Kinky Boots, 2005. Yeah. Lola. You play Lola.
Yeah. Because I just remember remember coming across it on one of the movie channels. I'm like, that's the guy from Serenity. Before he went on to, you know, all the other stuff that he did. Okay. I mean, this is...
Oh my God.
He's such a cold, like, bastard in this. Like, I really don't even care. You know, like...
Yeah, he's, no, like, he's great. He's a really he doesn't even villain. Have a name. He's just called the operative.
Yeah.
Weird. He is a little, like, mustache twirly at one, at, like, a couple points where he's like, I'm evil, Mal. I'm like, oh, don't say that. Like, I mean... Why would you do? Why would you say, like, I am evil? Like, it's a little bit much, but I mean, overall, he's pretty good. He is cold, and I do like the way when he has
he's
that
cold
fight
yet scene. Warm at the same time because, like, he's well, like, yeah. This is a good death, it's an honorable death, right. Everything's cool. Now I'm gonna be, you know,
yeah, but I mean, it's funny. I do like the fight scene that he and Mal have in like the training house when he's going to rescue yeah. Inara because, like. Mal is like, he wraps the curtain around and starts, it's like a hockey fight. And this guy's doing all these like cool moves, kicks and shit. And Mal is just like, like just punching him in the face. It's pretty great. It's a great choreographed scene. And like Mal is clearly outmatched, but he's, you know, he's trying. So I do like that. But yeah, he's really good. He's really good in everything he's in. Even Kinky Boots, I suspect, although I haven't seen it.
I don't remember, but I'm sure he was great.
Yeah. Hey, you can pull that
that'll
off.
That'll be the next episode. The versus Kinky Boots.
I like it. It's like Kinky Boots. It's like, there's no bad Kinky Boots. It's like pizza. You know?
Yeah,
that's all good.
I just like saying Kinky Boots. They on River's feet.
There kinky you go. Feet. Just need yeah. some kinky boots on her feet.
Kinky boots on kinky.
I do want to see. There's something I also want to point out. I want to find it though here on Wikipedia because I want to read it. It's very.
While you find that, Thurston.
Okay,
I did think that you were going to say that you thought the. I would suspect that you thought that the story was overall good, like in the arc of the movie, like that as a, you always critique the writing and whether stuff is lazy or whatnot. But was I right? Do you like this story and how they?
Yeah, I like. I mean, there's a couple parts, like I said, that I don't like. I feel like there's a couple parts I'm just like, oh, it's a little rough. But I mean, overall, I like the arc, and like I feel like this is like. The Malcolm, if you take the Malcolm
sticking,
story,
the sticking yeah. dead bodies on the ship and stuff. That's all.
Yeah, I mean
stuff.
that's a little rough.
Gets a little dark that's, there. Yeah,
it's a little gross, right? But I mean, I think it's going some. You know, it's going somewhere. You have to get there, and sometimes it's hard. You know, sometimes you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
I did and like the zombie reavers. I thought that was all cool. I like the reavers as a foil in this thing too. And
yeah,
you know,
it's pretty cool because they set it up in the show. You don't, you know, in the show they just set them up as this
they never showed thing. Them in the show, yeah. Right? I can't remember. I don't think they did.
No, they didn't. They mentioned yeah. them.
Yeah. These like crazy evil like rapist murderer people that like eat you before
therapist.
They kill you.
Oh, you mean so like every politician in Washington, am I right?
Right? Yeah, baby.
I'll take the rapist for 100, Alex.
That's therapist, Mr. Connery. But yeah, no, and I'm glad that they were they used those. Like, so if you were a fan of the show, you're like, oh, I finally get to see Reavers, and they are really messed up, and you know, like, and but now we know why. You know, they were made that way. There's another great line when he says that a lot of like the operative says a lot of innocent people are dying up there right now, and Mal says. You have no idea because the Reavers were innocent people at one point that were just.
And that was actually a very Doctor Who thing. Like, oh, everybody on this planet, except for 10% of them, they just got lazy and died because all their mojo floated away. But the other 10% turned evil and they're fucking ripping their way through the galaxy. That is totally something you would see in Doctor Who. And I'm here for it, as the kids are saying. I'm here for that.
Kids are all right. So here's the thing I wanted to read. It's kind of off topic what we're talking about now, but so Serenity was originally released on traditional film prints because the original 2K digital intermediate scans were readily available. The film was chosen by Universal to test conversion to a digital cinema distribution master of the film and to test the workflow required to create a digital cinema package. So actually does have, that's pretty significant now that movies are released digitally all the time, like solely digital. That certainly kind of like paved the way for that. It was the first film to fully conform to digital cinema specifications. Wow. So that's a pretty big milestone there. So I read a lot of that from Wikipedia, I have to admit, because I would never remember all that on my own. No. But yeah.
So it's a very Hollywood.
You would drop in some knowledge. It's cool.
Yeah. You used to work there or something.
Well, I didn't work at Universal, but
I thought you worked at Universal with Peter Sellers.
Sure. And he was in RoboCop.
Yeah, Peter Sellers of RoboCop fame.
And after work you go to drinks with the Columbia lady who holds the torch and
Right. And then we'd hang out and play pool with Pat Smear from the Foo Fighters.
Oh, well, we did see him at a club.
You mean the meat puppets? Huh?
That's not me being wrong. We actually did see
There's one. See, that's the one bit of truth to the story. That lends credibility to the rest of the stuff.
Yeah. I think also it should be mentioned, film, it won some, like, you know, a lot of, it won a Hugo Award. Best dramatic presentation long form in 2005. I mean, it's won, you know, a lot of these sci-fi awards and stuff. And also, like, some people say this is the best sci-fi movie ever, which I think is a bit.
How about no? But yeah.
It's pretty good, though. It's pretty good. I see why people say it.
No way. That dates the podcast right there.
Yeah, right. It did well for itself. I wouldn't say it's the best either, but yeah, it's really, it's got like 80 something on Rotten Tomatoes, which
87, something like that, right?
Yeah. And people really like it. I mean, you know, for a movie that didn't make any money, literally, like,
yeah, it only made, $1.4 million more than it cost to make.
Yeah, but it is still beloved. If we had conventions now, you would see still people in those Jane hats from the show.
All over the place. There's always a Mal. There's always somebody shiny with their fucking umbrella and shit. Everyone.
Oh, yeah, every, I mean, I always go as Wash because all I have to do is put on a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, there you go. Easy to be. I think that's the thing, that the costumes.
And I'm like, easy. And I see you, and I'm like, hey, Chuckles from G.I. Joe.
I would like to point out that Wash and Zoe's marriage was one of the things Fox executives had an issue with.
Yeah, and it was one of the things Joss Whedon pushed back on a lot too. He said they're not breaking up.
And I'm glad he did because I liked their relationship. You know, I'm glad that they were a married couple that got along and liked each other. Yeah.
Well, there was that great episode. One favorite
episode. I'd have sex with either one of those. If I was a lady, I'd get with Bosch. If I was a man, I am a man. But if I would get with Zoe, you know, they're both beautiful people in their own way.
Beautiful people.
Yes. There was my favorite episode, maybe, of the show was when, like, Wash insisted on going on the job with Mal because he's like, you're endangering my wife all the time. And I like, it's not.
That was a great one.
And like, they go and they get captured, and Zoe goes to like bargain for their lives. And the guy's like, which one? And she immediately picks Wash, obviously, because that's your husband. You know, like, it's.
Yeah.
I mean, that is my
favorite. But the best part about that was the dialogue between the two of them when they're just in the prison cell together and fighting, and like all that was like really good, like Joss Whedon dialogue, you know, like that was like why I like, you know, shows like Buffy and stuff. Like, he has like good little tangents. It's almost like a Bendis-y thing. It's like a Bendis-y just nice dialogue that like sounds real, you know?
Yeah, I think that's why I like that episode. Yeah, there's the great dialogue, the great character moments, everything. That's what the show is about. Not all the episodes were quite that good, like I said.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was like taking my medicine, like a couple. It was, but there was only 14 episodes, and let's say I did like two or three of them. I still liked most of it.
They had a pretty good. They had a pretty good batting average. I would say
Christina Hendricks. She was in it.
Oh, that's right, Christina Hendricks. Yeah.
Boom!
I didn't even recognize her. You know.
Yeah. A lot different, but it was I mean, it was a good show, so but had it gone on, I wonder what, you know what I mean, would
you're really harping still... on that, huh?
All right, I wish it went on for six seasons.
I think if it had gone on for two more seasons, it would have been fine. After that, maybe, who knows.
Yeah,
I mean, every show has a shelf life, I mean, that's Serenity. Do we have any I think I covered just about everything I had to wanted to mention, I guess. But does anyone have anything else?
First time watcher of the whole thing within this summer quarantine. You know, I'm glad I got a podcast out of it. But genuinely, I'm glad to know why everybody was going on about it for so long. I come to stuff really late sometimes, even though I'm like pretty enthusiastic about things. This thing I genuinely did like. And I avoided it forever. I don't know. Just sometimes I avoid it. Maybe it's like those people drama talking about. Like people said,
"Yeah, you gotta watch this." Giving you a DVD set, you would have been like, "No, no way."
And then, no, I have to get up and put this in the DVD player. No, thank you.
I don't even have a DVD player anymore. It cost
to buy, whatever.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I think we all do that, and I'm glad you finally watched it as well. But I think if someone is keeps telling me you gotta watch this, it makes me less inclined to watch.
I mean, I've only seen Goonies like within the last couple of years.
You know what? I only saw Goonies 5 years ago, and I realized why I hate that movie. I don't like it, and I feel bad saying that because it's beloved by our generation, but it didn't speak to me the way it spoke to other people our age.
I think I want to keep that. I don't even want to watch Goonies again because I think I will hate it.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
On TV over the years, I just don't want to. I'm like, oh no, I just want to preserve it in ice, like Captain America. Just keep that movie frozen in time when I was a kid.
Now that like drive-in theaters are all the rage, they keep playing Goonies like everywhere. Goonies, Back to the Future, all the
E.T. Jurassic Park are also big in drive-ins around here.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw it last summer. I saw Jurassic Park and Jurassic World, the double feature to drive in before quarantine, even.
Oh wow! How about that?
Jurassic World is great.
I think if you you could still watch Firefly and Serenity as I watched Serenity today, and still enjoy it. It's not like when we were kids.
I've got a Malcolm Reynolds figure from that time, and my friend Tom gave me a Serenity. It was like an ornament. But it's a large ornament, so you just take the little screw thing out that you'd hang it on the little hook on, and it looks hook. It's just like a little replica of the Serenity.
Oh, well, that is something I will say. I do like the ship design too. Like that's just something I like.
It's a weird design, but I like the fact that it looks
It doesn't look like a ship.
And one of these videos because. Durfin, you kind of started me off on watching a bunch of YouTube videos, but I think they like snuck it. No, it was a good thing because I wanted to catch up just like you did too. But like they showed somewhere like it's in the ship is in the background of Battlestar Galactica miniseries. Like they like snuck it in there. Sense. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's cool. I mean it's. I think
time is a flat circle, you guys. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But I think, structurally it's well done. It's different. It's a fun movie.
It's less than 20 hours of binging. If you want something to do in the quarantine, man, I would say it's like near perfect. If you in, if you yeah, like this kind of thing, it's
good
like
quarantine.
It's good quarantine content. Because then you'd be done with it.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel bad about catching up on seven seasons.
Hulu. I know that. It's the series is on Hulu. So
it is.
You're looking for digital whatevers?
That's how we watched it. It was on Hulu.
There you go. And, you know, the movie is, you know, it's a $3.99 rental or free if you sign up for the Star 7-day trial, which I yeah. did.
Yeah, I did too. And I was like, I think I've seen a couple other things on there too. But I don't need to hold on to it.
And that's $8.99 a month. Oof. But anyways, I think that's all we got.
Yeah.
Thanks. Right? Is that anybody else? I think we're good.
I just like to just say one last thing. I like the score of the film. I like the main theme better than the TV show theme. I did not. I was never a fan of that.
Joss Whedon wrote that.
Well, you know what? Wasn't a fan.
Stacey hates it. Whatever. She hates it so much.
Write music, Joss. Just write scripts.
Yeah. It does tell a story. Maybe they could have had like
Stan Lee wrote the lyrics to Defenders of the Earth.
They could have had other music and then just had that the lyrics scroll by so you could read it. But it's not a good song.
So that's what I have to say. I like the score. I liked. I don't feel as strongly as Dirksen does about the structure of the film. I sort of like more the characters. And then I turned Dirksen onto the movie. So there you go. Now that's how we're able to talk about
it. That's right. That was good. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did. And so say we all.
There was a cameo. Ship cameo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So they're in the same universe. It counts.
Shiny.
So That's it. Yeah. Sign up at leaguepodcast.com. Go to thingsfromanotherworld.com.
And
we're still affiliated with them, right? They still owe us like $15 though.
I probably.
But you can buy comics from them from our picks of the week and in our.
That's right.
Yeah. Still thanks for another show notes.
We would get a kickback from that. Yeah. We do want to buy the comics. You can go buy some.
It's affiliate marketing. Just like merchandising. It's affiliate marketing. The short.
Merchandise. You can also buy John's shiny t-shirt on tpublic.com/jhunt, right?
Jhunt5440.
That's right. You can go over there. John has a shiny t-shirt.
Leaguepodcast.com/shop. You can link right over there. Not to that particular shirt right now. We'll probably get it up there.
I'll put up a little link. But just in case you're listening to this on Spotify or whatever, which you probably are. Because who goes to a website to listen to a podcast?
No one, that's who.
No one. Especially this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, you chumps later.
Adios. Assholes.
Shiny.
Oh, no, what you should have said is sayonara.
Hello?